Tonight we're going into the 13th chapter, verse 47 of the book of Leviticus, and we're going to talk about the holy life is a life that is free from contamination. The holy life is a life that's free from contamination. And because the holy life is a life that's free from contamination, then what we will understand is that the family is supposed to be pure. The family is supposed to be pure in the eyes of God. I understand that we live in a world full of man, but I have found that mankind has the tendency to feel that nobody's perfect, therefore don't try. God has a standard that can be met, and it's revealed in His Word. As we've gone through these chapters of the book of Leviticus, we have seen that God has done everything that's necessary to show these people, this family, what is acceptable and unacceptable. How to approach Him and come and make offerings so that you can draw near to His presence. Because He wanted to be in the midst of them. That's why He gave them the design for the tabernacle. That's why He allowed mankind to use His servants as substitute, the animal. That's why God allowed them to use grain. And as we get to it, we'll see that God allowed them to use the blood of the grapes when they made sacrifices. This was God's doing, not man. But it was all predicated upon man believing on what God had said. And because man would believe on what God had said, he would be able to approach God, to receive from God, that he would be able to receive protection. He would be able to receive the benefit from God. And that mankind would be able to be in His presence as the song was playing. We were listening to them sing, in His presence. However, with the multiplicity of sacrifices that was given, and we've talked about them many times, and we will talk about them again, but tonight I want to talk about the unclean and the pure. The unclean is that which is impure. The holy is that which is moved from above being just clean. It moves to a different gradation. It's called holy. The unclean is that which is not clean. I'm talking about ceremonially. You could be clean all day long and have had a bath but still be unclean because you touched the animal carcass. That means ritually unclean. Now, we've dealt with the animals. We've dealt with the method of childbirth, and we've dealt with a leprosy to show that in the childbirth and the animals, that we talk about Gentile nations and that which is not Gentile nations. Those that were represented by the animals, because animals are the servants of men. We also talked about other facets of the animals. We talked about childbirth. We talked about the issue and the flow of blood that come from women, the flow of life, as well as the presence of that which could be death at the same time when they come together in a kiss, an unceremonial kiss. We also talk about the leprosy that pops out on a man. Now, all of these things are showing that God deals with situations in such a way that I want you to understand what I mean, and I have a multiplicity of ways of teaching you what I mean because I am the master teacher. Now, what is this contamination that God does not want? And what about this family that God wants to have things pure? How does that work? Why are you not reading scriptures yet, Tim? Because of the fact it's not going to be that many scriptures. So what I'm doing is what I used to see my mom do when we had company. Let's say we would have company sometime once a year. People would come down from different states, Ohio, sometime California, whatever, and they would stay at our house for 3 or 4 days before they went on to Atlanta to a convention. Well, Mom would get out the china, and she would teach us how to set the table, and you set the table, your plate go here, the fork and the knife go here, the spoon go over here, the glass go on this side of the plate, etc. I'd like to be tested to see if I still got it right by memory, but that's not the point here. The table was set so that you could have a special dinner and the guests could be treated as guests. I submit to you that what God is doing through this ritual is to show there is no sacred and secular with Him. There is no special time and non-special time that you can just forget about Him. Notice I qualified it. There is no special time that you can forget about him. What do you mean? Our world tries to have us, when you're at work, forget about God. This is secular. We as people have the tendency to forget, think that when we watch TV, this is secular. It has nothing to do with God. When we do our sports activity, this is secular. It has nothing to do with God. When we eat our food often, this is secular. It has nothing to do with God. And often in those sittings, that's when we can be defiled. What do you mean defiled, Tim? I'm glad you asked me that, Dorian. We've talked about Matthew chapter 15. We've talked about Mark chapter 7, the things that defile a man come out of the heart. His adultery, his fornication, his murders, his theft, his covetousness, his blasphemies. Well, I've watched people on the job do some of all of those things and expose us to them. I've watched people at the dinner table do things that ought not so to be done. That's defiling. That's what Jesus says is unclean. What do you mean, Tim? That which is defiling is that which is detestable and that which is unclean. I'm going to show tonight in the rest of this passage in the 13th chapter is that there is no area in life that we should call secular that God has nothing to do with. And by the time I get to chapter 15, I think we will really, really begin to see it even more so. But you know, people have the tendency to think that, you know, the way I dress and what I dress and what I wear, it has nothing to do with God. I'm not going to set forth a rule for you tonight, but I am going to show the picture that God is the master teacher and that we should always be considering what it means to be defiled, New Testament standard, by looking at the Old Testament standard to see what God really meant. So I'm going to walk through it. So much for the preamble. Let's go to the meat. Is that right, Rudy? Is that how they teach you to do a speech? Give the intro, give the body, give the conclusion. That's a lot of intro. Let's see if the body builds up to what I say is going to build up to, because if it doesn't, it's my fault, not the scripture. The word of God says, 13th chapter, the 47th verse of Leviticus, it says, the garment also that has the plague of leprosy in it, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or the woof, not like woof woof. We're talking about a type of way that things were made. The best that I could get is one of them that goes crossways on the loom and the other one that goes vertically. They call one the warp and one the woof. And I'm not going to commit myself to either one of them because it's not necessarily proven that it's either one. But it could be. The best that I could see is that it was the way that it came, either the vertical or whether it was horizontal. And it may be when they stored it before they put it together, or if when it is made, some parts go one way and another go another way. But they are different. People that would do weaving would know more about it. But the scripture is not allowing any of the garment that is done that way to be shown that way. And for the children of Israel, they would not have the woolen and the linen mixed together anyway unless they were priests. That was separate. God kept things separate. So the word of God said the garment also that has the plague of leprosy. That word plague was talking about a blow or a strike. Notice it used the word plague. What did God do to Egypt, Rudy? When Pharaoh would not let him go, he gave them 12 what? Plagues. So this is not just something that's considered to be accidental. The garment that had the plague or the blow or the strike of leprosy in it, whether it was wool or linen, neither was accepted to allow the plague to be in it and nothing be done about it. It says whether it be the warp or the woof, linen, and then it says whether in a skin or anything made of a skin. In other words, I don't think they were wearing coonskin hats, but whatever kind of skins, whether it was something that was made out of sheep or a leathern girdle like John the Baptist wore, whatever it was, if it was in the skin, this particular thing, according to verse 49, says, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, nothing is excluded. Do you see that? Do you see that this is something that you would wear at any time, not just when they came to the tabernacle, but when they were working. When they went out, they may not have played football or soccer or baseball, but I'll bet you they had games. We know that they danced. We know back from Tubal Cain time they had music. And we knew that they had fun. We know from Jesus that before they got into the ark, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were building. They were planting. They had fun. Now, I'm sure they had some kind of way to have fun. Well, if the garment that you were wearing or that you had at this particular time on you or that you were getting ready to put on, you had to consider it. Because of the plague, and not wear it. Are you ready to read for me, Ann? Verse 49, help Tim.
If the disease is greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, or in the warp, or in the woof, or in any article made of skin, it is a case of leprous disease, and it shall be shown to the priest.
Now, what we have to understand, if you were getting ready to do something that you didn't consider religious, I'm not going to the tabernacle to make sacrifice. If you were a man, this is not one of the three times of year that we have to go. I haven't been doing anything wrong. I haven't been defiled. I don't have to get cleansed or whatever and go to the tabernacle yet, because this garment has become defiled. It's an extension of what you wear to cover yourself with. Once it became defiled, you had to take that garment and show it to the priest. It became what you would consider to be a religious situation. Oh, how deep that goes. I'm just going to go ahead and just make a little application right now. If I'm on the job and someone calls and I'm in a sales position and I work directly with the owner, and someone calls and asks to speak to him and he says, tell him I'm not here right now. Here is a matter that I'm on my job, and you would quote unquote call it secular. But if I'm going to lie because this man says so, I have just defiled myself. This is not a matter of secular and I'm on the job, I do what I'm told. This becomes a matter of something that is going to affect my being pure or impure before God. Parents, you should never allow your child to see you defiling yourself that way. I said it last week, and the child has just heard you talk to your husband, or the husband talk to the wife. I didn't get paid last week, and I don't know what's going to happen. All these bills are behind, and people are calling me, and then you tell I paid the bill last week. You see, because they had something that they could see. They had something that they could feel. God gave them two levels of unclean and clean. One level was naturally he had given them laws not to steal, not to kill, not to murder, not to do blasphemy. And those things should have reached the heart. Rudy, you want to know why I say that? Because God gave them circumcision in the 17th chapter of Genesis, but Moses told them that they weren't circumcised in the heart. And Jeremiah repeated the same thing. So it was always supposed to be in the heart. So now God has given them an abject lesson that in every facet of your life, I'm in control. Consider me. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Ann.
And the priest shall examine the disease and shut up that which has the disease for 7 days.
And the priest shall judge. The priest shall judge that garment. He shall shut it up, put it up for 7 days. We're not going to say go ahead and wear it. It's okay. It's not that much. If it's there, he deals with it. And he shuts it up for 7 days because I want to see what it's going to do. I want to see that it's really what I think that it is. I'm going to interrogate. Well, somebody say he's not going to question the thing. Why is it that people can't understand that if you set it up for 7 days, you are really doing it to inquire and see if it's really what you think that it is? And if it's really what you think that it is, you're going to deal with it? I think that it's because we've lost many times the ability to think and reason in America. Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
Then he shall examine the disease on the seventh day, disease has spread in the garment, in the warp or in the woof, or in the skin, whatever be the use of the skin, the disease is a persistent leprous disease. It is unclean.
Now, those that are reading in the King James Version, that one that people that do not know any better, they say that it was the one that was read by the Apostle Paul, and I really won't even go into that. I mean, the book was written, well, this one was translated in the 1600s, but we won't go into that. But it calls it a fretting leprosy. And so when you see, when it's read in the ESV, you read ESV, correct?
Right.
You get a chance to see that it's not talking about fretting like when you talk about a child fret at night, you know, a little child, and they say, what's wrong with the child? It just keeps fretting. This is not the same thing. This is a leprous disease that's spreading. Notice, this is the key. It's spreading. The plague is spreading. You want the plague to always stop. We'll see different places as you go through the Bible. I'll give you one in particular. There was a plague that God had put on the children of Israel because the Midianite women, after they tried to get Balaam, the son of Beor, sometimes it's pronounced Beor or Beor, depending on whether your New Testament, and he taught, according to the book of Revelation, he taught the children of Israel how to sin with the fornication with the Midianites. But Phinehas stopped the plague. He stopped the plague and saved the lives of the family by putting that man to death. Well, here, if this is a spreading disease, God has something for it. Please read some more, Anne.
And he shall burn the garment, or the warp, or the woof, the wool, or the linen, or any article made of skin that is diseased, for it is a persistent leprous disease. It shall be burned in the fire.
If this disease, if this plague in this garment, after he has been interrogated, after he has been investigated, okay, if it's spreading, you're going to burn it. We're going to move this so that it doesn't contaminate any other garment. It is unacceptable to wear. I submit to you that what God is showing them through this is that when there is something that's unclean and is spreading, something that's ritually unclean and is spreading, it needs to be dealt with totally. It doesn't need to be pampered. It doesn't need to be saying, well, it's not that bad. If it is spreading, and we know that's what it is, in the garment, I'm going to show you how I want uncleanness dealt with. Burn it. Burn it. Get rid of it. How much more? Those of us that know that we are defiled by the things that we allow in our lives, should we not continue or figure out how to get rid of it completely when there's something inside of us that's causing us to be unclean? How much more? I think that what happens is we read these particular passages and we think, oh, I'm glad I'm not living under those days. That's a whole lot to watch out for. I submit to you that there's nothing less for us to watch out for today, because the spirit of that is that we don't want to be ceremonially unclean as the priest and the family of God. We want to avoid the contamination, and that which contaminates should be burned up. All we need to do is find out what is it that contaminates us now, so that the family can be pure. Read some more, please.
And if the priest examines, and if the disease has not spread in the garment, in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the disease, and he shall shut it up for another 7 days.
Listen! If the garment does have what was in it that looked to be leprosy, and maybe it had been the plague, but it stopped. It is no longer spreading. We're going to wash it. We're going to make it clean. We're going to wash this thing and make sure that the thing is not spreading, because everything else that's washed around it is going to show up clean. And we're going to shut it up another 7 days to examine. How much more when we allow ourselves to be around different ones that contaminate us, different attitudes in our life that someone tries to warn us, Tim, the attitude that you have, I'll share one with you. There have been times that I've done stuff and Anna said, Tim, you are a pastor. You can't act like this and get upset over things like you do. I said, but I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. And she'll say, but you are a pastor. You are judged by a higher standard. What if someone that you try to talk to about God see your attitude on the way that you dealt with this right here? What was she doing? This looks like a leprosy in you. I've investigated. Before I said something, I looked at it. You need to wash this up, son. You need to wash this up and cut it out of your life. Because it's going to have you looking like one of those men that when he talks about God, all of the uncleanness or all of the things in his life cause people not to hear God. As a child, as a man that's going to be a man of God, you need to try to do everything in your power so that when people find a fault in you, that they are wrong, that they are grabbing and reaching for something that doesn't exist. Someone say, Tim, I don't think that's the case. Well, why does the Bible tell you in the New Testament, let not then your good be evil spoken of? Shun the very appearance of evil. Why does Paul say that if I know I can eat a certain kind of meat and it is not unclean, but if it causes my brother to stumble, I won't eat it. I won't eat it for his sake. Why does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if somebody, you go to his home to have a meal, and he says this, he bought it from the market, it was offered to idols. He said, if the man say nothing, then eat it. Don't ask any questions for conscience sake, not yours, but the one that offered it. But if it says it's offered to idols, don't eat it. Why? Conscience, not of yours, but of this one. Why is that? Because of the fact the individual has the tendency to take his standard, which is wrong, he doesn't know the truth, and judge you by it. In this case, let's wash it and let's see what happens with it. Read that verse again and then go further.
Then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the disease, and he shall shut it up for another 7 days. And the priest shall examine the diseased thing after it has been washed. And if the appearance of the diseased area has not changed, though the disease has not spread, it is unclean. You shall burn it in the fire, whether the rot is on the back or on the front.
In that instance that I was talking about, it just seemed like for one while, every time I take my credit card and put it in one of those gas pumps to get gas, it would either not read it. I'd do it two or three times. My bank would shut down the credit card. Something would happen. It wouldn't give the receipt. It would do all kind of things, and I would get angry. And I'd get upset with the machine. I said, it's just a machine. It's not a person. But when I analyzed what she said, the spot didn't change from the front or the back. I had to let that go. Because she had examined, and it was something that could be very defiling. It was something from her vantage point was defiling that I hadn't seen. And I submit to you that in this case, although it didn't spread, it was there. The washing did not get rid of it. There are times we need to get rid of stuff. Rid of what? What defiles? Mm-hmm. Jesus says adulteries. Fornication. Somebody said, how can someone not know that adultery or fornication can defile? Well, he said that his wife doesn't live with him anymore. He said that she's lived with another boyfriend. We love each other. And so we act like or we feel like we can go on. Or if it's a fornication situation, we're adults. We're not hurting anybody. But when the priest, those that have God's instruction, When the family of God addresses each other, we should say, that spot is real. Wash up, straighten up the relationship. If you're not going to marry this person like God said, if this is not marriageable material, you got to cut this out of your life. But no, often we'll get upset. Let me remain defiled. Leave me alone. Same thing with our temper. Same thing with slothfulness, etc. Please read.
But if the priest examines, and if the diseased area has faded after it has been washed, he shall tear it out of the garment, or the skin, or the warp, or the wool. Then if it appears again in the garment, in the warp, or the wool, or in any article made of skin, it is spreading. You shall burn with fire whatever has the disease. But the garment, or the warp, or the wool, or any article made of skin, from which the disease departs when you have washed it, shall then be washed a second time and be clean.
Read.
This is the law for a case of leprous disease in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in any article made of skin, to determine whether it is clean or unclean.
So when you see these scriptures, and you see that if the priest looked, and if that plague is dark, or after washing it, and you see that it's there, what you got to do is tear it out of the garment, or out of the skin. Try to preserve what can be preserved. Mm-hmm. Try to preserve what can be preserved. You don't want to just take a person in a family, in an assembly, and say, we have nothing else to do with you. We need to let you go. You want to deal with the issues as they are. The family should not be contaminated because I have a temper. The family should not be contaminated because I want to cheat on Ann. The family should not be contaminated because I'm a liar or a blasphemer. But at the same time, if there's nobody that's willing to examine me or to examine you and say, look, you need to sit down. I was going to say sit your tail down, but since I won't say sit your tail down, you need to sit your bottom down and you need to find out what's going on with you and let somebody deal with you. And you need to be washed with the water by the word, because we can't beat you and put the rod on your back like they did then. But we can give you the word, and then we can see if your heart shows a remorse. If your heart shows a remorse, then we tear that wickedness out of you. Then you come back to the assembly. Somebody say, Tim, where did you get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about a man that laid up with his father's wife. And instead of them dealing with the issue, it was so bad, Paul had to tell them, don't you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Paul said that, I'm ashamed of you all. He said, but I judged. Although I'm not there, put that person away from you. Put that, let that person be shut up from amongst you all. That, and I've delivered him, Paul said, to Satan for the destruction of the body. That is, destruction. I hate when my words get tangled, but I know what I want to say. The destruction of his flesh, which is his body, so that his spirit might be saved. Not that it will be, might be. Now, when you read in 2 Corinthians, you find out Paul said, talks about an individual that had repented and remorse. Paul said, let that man back in the assembly. Let him be overtaken with overmuch sorrow. Paul used that same type of principle here in the body of the believers. That man was full of contamination. That man was unclean. He was going to leaven or spread that uncleanness to the whole assembly. So much so that other people were being puffed up in terms of leaven, something that they were not allowed to use in certain sacrifices, and it was spreading. Once the man had gotten to the place that it was dealt with, that was cut out of his life, Paul said he had sorrow. You think he just had sorrow because he did that with his father's wife? No. Sorrow because he did to the assembly. Sorrow that he had done it to Christ. Here is a garment. The dark spot was on it. Its wash is faded. We're going to save the garment. cut that little bit out, and then we're going to wash it again, and if it hasn't spread, it's okay. We need to cut certain things out of our lives, Rudy. I have to cut things out of my life continually before it spread and makes something worse. There have been times that there have been relationships that I have had, and they said, that's not a good relationship for you to have. They don't mean you any good. And I start watching and investigating and see if what she said is true. And if it's true, if I perceive it's true, if I don't perceive it true, based on our relationship, I begin to look at that. And if I say I need to cut that relationship off, I will. Sometimes I see it myself. And how do you know if a relationship is going to cause you to be impure, if it's going to be like a plague of leprosy? Easily, if you're a woman getting ready to try to marry somebody, a man going to marry somebody, and you see this person in every way treats you well, but they have a great disrespect for God. God's word does not mean that much to them. That's going to be a plague in your life. You're going to be unequally yoked with that person, although you and that person can get along. How you can get along with this person and you're supposed to love God and they don't, that's an amazement to me. But you may not be one that's really rooted and grounded, but your heart is toward God. And you think because this person can give you a few Christian-hearted words. And when I say Christian-hearted, I mean you know the jargon, but you don't walk the walk. That's the kind of relationship that causes an individual to become contaminated. And you heard me talk to a man before that he's having the same kind of issues in his home. And he wished to God he could do something differently. Business ventures. Places that we go and work. Things that we allow in our lives because of the fact we let something fester. What I mean by fester. Just like that fretting leprosy that spread. You ever been so angry with someone that you just, I got to figure out some way to get that person back. I got to do something to either sabotage their life. That's the kind you need to cut out. Because it's unclean, it's impure. Somebody say, well, you mean everybody can just run over me and I do nothing? Well, if the person won't hear you when you talk to them, if they won't hear two or three more, they won't hear the family or the assembly, let them be like a heathen and a publican, take them to court. If they no longer want to be treated like a brother, then you can take them to court and deal with them accordingly. Then it says in, again, 56, notice the judgment takes place by the priest. We should be the kind of people that when there are issues in one another's life, in our own life, if we can't see for ourselves, we should be able to go to somebody and say, I got this issue in my life. How does it look? Help me. The priest shall look and behold, if the plague be dark after the washing, tear it out. But you know what, Ann? Sometimes we'll have relationships. We'll have attitudes and things in our lives that's against God, and no one wants to even begin to ask somebody, how do I get rid of this? I have another young man. He's asking me, how can he stop fornicating? Well, first of all, you're not walking with God if you're doing that. Secondarily, you're outside of the will of God, and you're totally impure and you're unclean. It's not going to be a magical bullet. The way that you do that is rend that thing out of your life and burn it. How do you do that? You become more concerned about the things of God and drawing near to Him than you are about your own pleasure. And if you can't do that, then you're not worthy of Him. You're not going to be accepted by Him. You will be doomed to an eternal hell because you're rebellious. Your rebelliousness is His witchcraft, and your stubbornness is the same thing as lawlessness and idolatry before God, because you feel that you're going to get a chance to get by the Almighty God and come into His holy presence while you are unclean and you are impure, whereas God has shown that contamination is totally unaccepted, even down to the garment when He showed the picture. I can't help you if you're not willing to submit to God. Everything is not that egregious, but it showed that little spots can spread. 57 says, if it still appear in the garment, in the warp or the whoop or in the skin, It's spreading. Burn it. Get rid of it. Do we have anything in our lives that we know that defiles? Again, for some people, they forget. And it's not that they never heard, but sometimes people forget, what exactly did the Bible say is unclean? What did the Bible say are the things that we're talking about? It's the very things that Jesus talked to in Matthew 15 when the people got upset. And Jesus said in the 15th chapter of Matthew, these are the things that defile, 15 and 18, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. These are the things that defile or either make a man unclean. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Most people think evil thoughts have to do with sexuality. Sometimes evil thoughts are just the fact, you don't tell me. Yet the person told you what God said. You don't tell me what to do with my time. You don't tell me that I really have to study God's word. That's an evil thought when Jesus said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why is it that you feel that you're exempt from these kind of things? Well, not only that he says murder, he that hates his brother is a murderer as well. Adultery, sexual immorality, that's pornography. Masturbation, you go masturbating, you thinking about somebody, male or female, looking at porn, and you think that you're pure. You think that God is going to accept us in the family, you better cut it out. Theft. And God knows our government will do it, our municipalities will do it, but we can do it by lying, by sneaking. But the Bible says theft is something that can defile. False witness, liars, slander. Jesus said these are the things that defile a person. So when he used the picture to show that in every facet of life, God is concerned. Whereas often we think that, well, when I'm on my job or when I'm with my friends, it's different. I submit to you that the pattern that God shows, that there is no difference. And then the scripture just says 58 and 59, whatever it is, when you wash it, if it's departed, wash it a second time, it's clean. We need to understand that defilement can be cleansed. We need to understand that in the family, contamination can be gotten rid of. And every time, it doesn't have to be drastic, but it needs to be dealt with before it gets so far. And God knows we should have a self-check that we can check ourselves. When we start having the evil thoughts, Lord, look at my thoughts. My thoughts are wrong. My thoughts are displeasing to you. These thoughts that I have, they're going to lead to something. And it says, this is the law. This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment. If God was that concerned about the garment that you wear, that you put on your body, that would represent you when you went out, that would be the very thing that you covered yourself with if it was unclean, if it was that case with something that was concrete, what about with how you cover yourself as a person? Do you really clothe yourself in truth? Do you really cover yourself in honor? Do you really cover yourself with the righteousness of God? Do you really cover yourself with love? Or do you cover yourself with blasphemies, adulteries, slanders, works of the flesh, etc.? I submit to you that what God has shown in just this little bitty passage that I read is not a God of just the secular, I mean of the sacred. Everything is sacred to him in the life of the believer. If he did that with that, the articles of clothing, how much more is he interested in not just looking at a plague of leprosy, a defilement of clothing, article that you wear and put on you, but what you really put on? The Bible says, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, meekness and humbleness of mind. God has something for us to put on, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the things that defile. Put on the things that will make an individual right before God. Examine each other. Work with each other. See if we can be washed and cleansed in a situation. What do you mean washed and cleansed in a situation? I'll give you an illustration. these two people, they call themselves in love. They live in a wicked life. I knew a couple like that. I talked to them. I said, God's not pleased with how you're living. This is ungodly. Do you know those people got married, and you know them today? I talked to one of the ladies on the phone. They've been married for a few years, and he's talking about how glad she did what God said. Well, here was a situation that was defiled in God's presence. And I said it. She didn't have to give me business anymore. But eventually they listened and they went on and they cleaned up the situation. Yes, it started out wrong. But when the defilement is there, you don't try to throw away the people. They weren't even in our assembly. It's just the fact that I believe that the Bible, God's word, applies to everyone. That's how John the Baptist act. Somebody said, well, you get that from Tim. How did John the Baptist fit into this? He went up to Herod's brother, Herod, and he do it. And said, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's Philip's wife. And he's like, how are you just going to go tell this man that? Because I'm telling you what God said. And it cost him to get his head cut off when Herodias did that table dance. Now, whether it was a table dance or whatever, but whatever dance it was so exotic, Rudy, that this king was so enthralled by it, he was willing to give half his kingdom to her. Now, I don't know what else was coming after the dance, but I mean, I can figure. But he promised that, and what does she want? I want the head of the man that told you how to clean yourself up, how to cut this uncleanness out of your life. But because Herod was entangled with someone that was unclean, that he shouldn't have in his life, instead of letting himself be cleansed, guess what he did? He went further into darkness. But that's not, I mean, there are people that lie, live lies, preach lies, continually go to a church that's unclean. You know the pastor's laying up with little boys, a little girl. You know that the pastor stealing the money, but you say don't touch God's anointed. And God has already shown you that this man is unclean. He's doing the very things that defile. And you feel that this is the place that you should stay. And when the word of God has told you what a man of God should be like, 1 Timothy 3:5, and you don't realize God has shown you that the whole warp and the woof of your assembly is defiled and contaminated and you don't care, then you must think that what we read in Leviticus has no application. You must think that this thing doesn't matter. Lastly, all of this applies to our Lord Jesus, Rudy. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us. The teachings of Jesus helps us to be sanctified. Jesus said, if you're willing to follow me, give up your life and follow me and be my disciple. If you're going to be my disciple and follow me, you must walk in the cleansing of my word. What do you mean? Jesus said in John 17:3, now you are clean. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:3 said, this is eternal life, that they know you the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Cleansing comes from Jesus. All of the things that will defile us come from Jesus. It's not just his death, burial, and resurrection. You can say his death, burial, and resurrection does all of that. No, that makes it possible. But he gave some teaching too. Don't just say his death, his burial and resurrection, and don't give a context of it. The context of it is, what did he teach about uncleanness? What did he teach about defilement? What did he teach that we need to do in order that his death, his burial and resurrection will have efficacy in our life? When we do that, Rudy, when we do that, Tim, then we can walk in purity, uncontamination, and the family can be pure. These things apply to the family of God, but more importantly, these are the things we should exercise in our own personal home. And we would be wrong to let any of our children defile the home. They come in and live in such a way that they bring defilement upon the home, and we don't deal with it. We just let it go. And all this defilement is here and it spreads, and God can't get the glory when we know what the scriptures teach. God's words teaches, you want to see if it's there. You want to try to see if it can be stopped. You want to see if it can be washed away. If it can't be washed away and stopped, and then you cut it out after it's been cleansed, then just burn the whole thing, be through with it. Don't let it defile you. I hope that this message, this little message right here, it was thought-provoking. I was thinking about it on the job today. How beautiful it is that God shows that in every aspect of life, defilement not only can take place, but it has to be dealt with. The last thing I'll say is, it's nothing new, Ann. He showed that if you were defiled by touching an unclean beast, wash. If you were defiled by touching a corpse, wash and be clean. Here, you had a little more to do. Wash and deal with the issue at hand. Remove it if necessary. Burn it completely if necessary. But whatever you do, you be clean. Being ritually clean before God is the highest honor. Why do you say that, Tim? Because when a person is ritually clean, they can move to the next level of being holy. There's a difference between ritually clean and holy. You can be ritually clean then made holy, but you cannot be impure and be made holy. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the pictures that you show in your word. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to realize that there is no secular us and a sacred us unless we're not seeing your word as it is. You want everything that we do and say to come under the rubric of that we are really your priesthood, and we should be undefiled before you, uncontaminated before you, that we would live a righteous and a godly life before you and man. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.